John here from Freaky From God, the podcast. I'm continuing on with the responses that I received in relation to a survey that I had on my website last year. This is the third highest response I got, where people who had personal, what they felt were their personal issues as Christians, and it's to do with overcoming the flesh. Now, this is a big one, and in fact, there were a few responses that could have been lumped into this one too. In fact, the next one that I'm going to talk about is the war in the spirit and spiritual warfare and things like that, and that's very much a similar thing. So even though this is saying that 11% of people felt that they had issues with overcoming the flesh, it may be quite a lot higher than that, and this is a real big one amongst Christians. Let me give you a story just to begin with to show what this issue is all about, and I'd like to look at the situation going right back to the very beginning of human existence with Cain and Abel. And I'll just read a section of scripture from Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. Genesis 4, 3 to 7. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." In other versions of the Bible, that last few verses, it says, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must overcome it. And this is part of the challenge that we have as Christians, and particularly in relation to this issue of overcoming the flesh. Because this is exactly what people are suffering with today. The issue goes right back to the start of time, and the problems with the flesh go back to the very beginning of human existence. So overcoming the flesh is not something new. What we have today, though, we have an advantage that Cain didn't have in his days. We have the power of God to help us to overcome the flesh. God has given us the tools and the abilities and the strength to be able to do this through the walk that we have with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to cover all of those things, particularly next time when I talk about spiritual warfare. But firstly, let's have a look at this. When people say they are struggling to overcome the flesh, some of them were saying they were walking in self-condemnation when they fall. A lot of people, a lot of Christians today, condemn themselves if they make a mistake. It's human nature to do that. But one of the things that we must understand, that in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. And we see this over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1, where it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And that's one of the first things we must understand. Jesus does not condemn us. God does not condemn us, because they've set us free from sin and they've released us from condemnation. We're no longer condemned. So who are we to say that we are condemned when God has said that you're not condemned? If God doesn't condemn us, why do we condemn ourselves? So in terms of overcoming the flesh, the first thing we have to do is we have to stop condemning ourselves, because the issue with condemning yourself and with condemnation is that you're actually making the situation worse. You're walking in guilt, you're walking in condemnation, and these are not things that are conducive to walking with Christ. He doesn't want us to be there. That's why he set us free. Now, the second thing that may be causing an issue for these people who are struggling to overcome the flesh is that they do not understand the freedom that we now have in Jesus Christ. We look at a scripture over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and it says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." We have been set free from many, many things. Firstly, when Jesus died for us and when he was sacrificed, he set us free from sin. That was the first thing he did. The second thing he did was he set us free from the law. Now, setting us free from the law helps in relation to being set free from condemnation, because it's the law that condemns people as sinners. Sin is breaking the law, and it says that in one of the letters of John up in the back of the Bible. Sin is breaking the law. So if he removes the law, then he removes the condemnation that comes under the law. So he's given us those two freedoms, initially, freedom from sin, freedom from the law, and, of course, the law is a yoke of slavery. And that's why he says, for freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. But there is a third freedom, and this is the one about freedom from the passions, the lusts, and the desires of the flesh. And that is the freedom that he has given us through the working of the Holy Spirit. He has set us free, or given us the ability to be set free from all of these things within us that would lead to sinfulness. Now we continue on, because one of the things that this is contingent on is we need to know the truth. And as Jesus said over in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now there are many, many Christians, there are many, many people in this world who know this verse. They know the verse, the words that says the truth will set you free. But until you actually find the truth, then you can't be set free. One of the challenges that we have as Christians today is there are many things that are preached in the churches and written in books that are not truth, that have actually been designed to keep us in bondage, which is not about being set free. The truth will set you free. These other things are lies. They're half-truths. And, of course, we know the source of all lies is the great liar himself, who is the devil. He's the one that actually is doing all of this work to try and bring Christians into condemnation, to bring them back into slavery, to put them in bondage so that they are separated from the freedom that has actually been given to them in Christ Jesus. So that's a big part of the issue about overcoming the flesh. Unless you actually understand the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus, you can't overcome the flesh. And this issue about overcoming the flesh, particularly in relation to overcoming the desires, passions and lusts of the flesh, is something that I will be covering in a later podcast in some detail. But the first part of it, the third point that I'd like to make out of this this question today, is that these Christians who are struggling to overcome the flesh, they do not know how to walk in the Spirit. Now, if we go over to Galatians chapter 5 again, and we have a look at verse 16, Paul wrote here to the Galatians church saying, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, this is one of the things that we need to learn, because you will not gratify. That means all of those desires in the flesh won't be fed. They won't be able to well up inside of you to make you do the things that you don't want to do, to make you do the wrong things, if you learn how to walk in the Spirit. And that's the key thing. In the next podcast, I'm going to be talking a little about spiritual warfare, and walking in the Spirit is a big part of spiritual warfare. But we have a look also at the issue of condemnation and walking in the Spirit, back over into Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8, where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I read that out a minute ago, and there is no condemnation, and especially if we walk in the Spirit. So what it goes on and says from verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here we are, we're talking about walking in the Spirit once again. And when we walk in the Spirit, the righteousness that is required under the law, not the law itself, not the letter of the law, but the righteousness, the doing right of the law, is met by those who walk in the Spirit. And when we go on to verse 5, we begin to see what this walking in the Spirit is about and how we actually do it. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So we see here that to walk in the Spirit is about, what are you thinking about? What have you got your mind set on? If you've got your mind set on the things of the flesh, all of the things that are going wrong, all the things that could go wrong, all of the things that well up inside you to say, oh, I really want to do this, but I know it's wrong, all of those things are the things of the flesh. And if your mind is set on those things, then your mind is not set on the things of the Spirit. And to go on in verse 6, it says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is why it's so important that we learn to walk in the Spirit, because when we walk in the Spirit, our minds are set on the things of the Spirit. We are in a place where we can please God and not please ourselves, not please the flesh, not do the things that our flesh is telling us to do, which do not lead us to life, but lead towards death. So we want to learn how to walk in the Spirit, and we want to learn how to live in the Spirit so that we are not in the flesh and so that we can please God. Now, there's another scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, which says, "For though we walk in the flesh," and we do, everyone in the world here walks in the flesh, "though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And this is what we're going to be talking about in the next one, a little bit about this spiritual warfare. And this is what these weapons are. It's the weapons of warfare in the Spirit, because you can't use fleshly weapons to fight a spiritual war. You can't use guns and grenades and knives and tanks and bazookas to fight a spiritual war. You need spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual war. And this is what we do with these weapons from verse 5, where it says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." Now, I know that some people would look at this and they would think, well, the arguments that we destroy, that's when someone comes to us and they say, oh, you know, there's no God, or there's no creation, it's evolution, or I don't believe that that there is a God, and all this sort of stuff. And the various arguments that get thrown at Christians by atheists and other people and so on. But that's not what is really important in this. When he says we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, he's talking about what's going on inside our head. He's talking about the self-talk cycle that goes on inside. And you are thinking things right now. You've got things running around in your head all of the time. We all do. And sometimes those things will condemn us. Sometimes they make us feel guilty. Sometimes they tell us that we're no good. Sometimes they tell us that the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough to set me free. But it's a lie. It's a lie. And these are the thoughts that we need to take captive, because we know, we have to believe and understand through faith that by the grace of God we have been set free. And so these arguments that are constantly going on in our head are the things that we destroy. Because the other part of what's going on in your head is everything that we do is done twice. First it comes to us as a thought, and then action follows the thought. So if we have a problem, I mean, let's say, for example, we might be a kleptomaniac, someone who just can't help but steal. It starts with a thought. Because we walk into a shop and we see something, we say, oh, I really want that. I mean, there's covetousness in there as well. And say, oh, I really want that. And they will steal it because they're a kleptomaniac. But it starts with a thought. They see the thing, they have the desire to steal, but it's not a problem until that is turned into action. So the power of walking in the Spirit is, how do we take that thought, how do we capture that thought and destroy it? As it says here, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is what walking in the Spirit is all about. When we walk in the Spirit, we take our thoughts captive so that we can stop those things, so that we can nip those things in the bud before they can be manifest and turn into something that will lead us into sinfulness. So that's the important thing. So going on from there, we then need to say, well, okay, if we're going to take these thoughts captive, and if we're going to try to stop these thoughts from happening, how do we do that? Well, one good way, and there are a number of ways, and I'll get into that in when I go into walking in the Spirit in more detail when we talk about the Foundation Ministries, which is still going to be a few podcasts away from now. But one of the ways that we can do this is explained by Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." The most important word in that section is think. What do you think? And the point about this is we're saying, well, we need to capture every thought to obey Christ. Okay, we can do that. And one way we can do that is when those thoughts come up, we replace them with other thoughts. We replace them with the words there in Philippians 4, verse 8. We think about something that's true, something that's honourable, something that's just, something that's pure, something that's lovely, something that's gracious. And we might do that in any number of ways. If we happen to be walking around, if we're like that kleptomaniac and we're in a shop, then we can think about a favourite scripture. We can put that on our minds and we can meditate on that for a few moments and push those other thoughts away so that we've captured those thoughts and we've extinguished them by replacing them with other thoughts. If we're at home, well, we could go and we could grab our Bible or we could sing gospel choruses or psalms or hymns or songs or whatever it is. We could listen to music. We could go out and do something useful. You go and do some gardening. Don't ask me to do it. I don't do gardening. Oh, I'm not a gardener. I've got brown thumbs. Everything I touch dies. So that's not a good thing for me. But I do like to do other things. I like to play music. I like to make music. I like to do other things. So I can do those things. Or I can pick my Bible up and I can read the Bible. I can study. I can write because I do a lot of writing. And if you've seen my my website, you could even go over to my website. I've got close to 1,000 posts on the website, which is basically my Bible study. So anyway, just in summary, why this is all important is firstly, freedom in Christ is fundamental. That's one of the basic reasons why he came. He came to set us free. He came to set us free from sin, set us free from law, and to give us the ability to be able to be set free from the passions, lusts, and desires of our flesh. That's why it's important to overcome the flesh. And he has given us the ability to do that. The Holy Spirit, the spiritual weapons of warfare, which I'll talk about briefly in the next podcast. So that's the first thing. He has given us the ability to be able to be free. It's not something we have to do ourselves. He will do it with us and do it for us. The second thing why it's important is Jesus came to set us free from sin and the law, which I've just mentioned a second ago. And thirdly, all Christians must find the path that will overcome the flesh. It's important that we overcome the flesh because when we go into the Lord's kingdom, after everything's said and done and all things are finished and the Lord comes and establishes his kingdom on earth, he wants people who are going to be able to live in harmony with one another and in harmony with God. Now, you can't live in harmony with someone else if you have not found that place of freedom, if you have not overcome the flesh. And he's helping us to overcome the flesh. It's not something you've got to do yourself. So if you happen to be like that kleptomaniac, or if you've got any other problem, doesn't matter what it is, the Lord is able to help you to overcome those things if you use the tools and the skills and the information that he's given us, which is written up in the Bible. That's the reasons why these things are important. So what are you going to do about it? Is this something that you happen to struggle with? If it is, then here's a couple of suggestions. If you go to my website, which is freegiftfromgod.com, under the resources, I have some ebooks. You can get one of my ebooks, specifically grab the Foundations ebook. They're free. Everything on my website is free. There are a couple of other books I've written which are on Amazon. And in fact, these books, the ones that are on my website, are also on Amazon as well. The only difference is on Amazon, you can't put them up there for free. You know, I know there are free books up there. There is a way to do it. I just haven't been able to work out what it is yet. But there are most of the ministry books are on my website for free. You can get them as a PDF file. Of course, you have to give me your email address to do that. And if you don't want to do that, well, you can still go to Amazon and get the book. It's going to cost you the grand total of 99 cents. That's US, so whatever that converts to in your currency. It's as cheap as I can put them up there. I can't put it up for any less than that. If you don't want to give me your email address, that's fine. Even if you do come and give me your email address, get the book, and then you can unsubscribe so that you don't get any emails, whatever. I'm not fussed. What's most important to me is get the book. I'm not trying to collect email addresses like telemarketers do. I want people to learn and to understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you want to get the book and you don't want to see any other emails come through, then by all means, unsubscribe. Not going to bother me one way or the other. The other thing you can do is go to my website. As I said, I've got over 1,000 posts up there. You can search for articles on walking in the Spirit. You can search for articles about overcoming the flesh. Just put something into the search tool that's on there and away you go. So that's the third of the issues that came up. I'm going to look at two more. The next one is spiritual warfare, and I'll be doing that one shortly, so stay tuned, subscribe to the podcast, and you'll pick that up as soon as it's done. See you next time.